All right. Thank you, Joel. I appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Amen. Songs that we know are often the songs that touch us the deepest, aren't they? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm just going to read again verses 3 through 9 there. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. A lot of rich phrases. The more I studied the Bible, the more I meditate on each phrase of Scripture. They mean so much. And that's why one can preach from many messages from one section of Scripture, or a long message, not in my case, but a long message from just a short phrase. But the depth of the Scripture. Amen? It's wonderful. I hope you're reading your Bible every day. And we encourage you to do that every year as the year comes to a close and you're near the end. Add some chapters. Finish up your Bible reading, would you? Make that little victory for the year that you read through your whole Bible. If you can't do the whole Bible, do the New Testament next year. But I want to encourage you, stay at it, finish it, and get through the Bible this year. I don't do it just as an exercise to say I've done it. I do it in light of what I'm going to preach this morning, but to get something out of the Word of God. I love that chorus I learned as a kid, get the Bible reading habit, and then daily keep right at it till you read your Bible through, clear through. Get the Bible reading habit, and you'll want to keep right at it till the Lord Jesus calls for you. You can read your Bible through just a chapter or two. Each time you'll learn something new. Get the Bible reading habit, and then daily keep right at it till the Lord Jesus comes for you. All right? Got that? Can you recite it? Anyway, that's what songs do. Songs, the words of songs will embed in your mind anyway. But get the Bible reading. As I read this passage, I'm wanting to chase several different little rabbits here, but I do try to stay disciplined and present what I would feel the Lord would have me to give. I do want you to notice in particular verse number 5 this morning, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. In everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. I like sports. I didn't hear any amens. I like sports. And by the way, it's not unscriptural to like sports. Paul used, the idea of boxing and running a race to illustrate scriptural truth. And I've finished my what? Course, right? Okay, these are, there's interest in sports then. There's interest in sports today. And sports brings excitement, doesn't it? My adrenaline, can't even say the word, but my adrenaline starts flowing when I go to a sports endeavor. I am, you don't want to be with me, okay? I do. I just get going. If the team that I like wins, I feel really good. I'm excited for a little while, and then that excitement's gone. But I get excited. Activities are exciting. Kids get all excited about different activities and have fun doing activities. It's excitement. Makes them feel good. But then it's gone. People seek excitement today. They want to be excited. Even churches are patterned to excite people. But when the excitement is over, it's gone. It's just a passing emotion. Its effect is short. But I want you to notice the word here in verse number 5, that in everything ye are enriched. Enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Yes, we do get excited, but it's far better to be enriched. I want to talk about being enriched this morning. Let's just pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to look into Your Word. I pray the Holy Spirit would challenge us, truly enrich us this morning. We pray that You'd be honored and glorified. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. To be enriched is to be increased in a positive and beneficial way. To be increased in a positive and beneficial way. Or we could put it this way, to become furnished to greater usefulness. To be enriched. Furnished to greater usefulness. Christians who become complacent in their spiritual walk are headed downward. They've ceased to be enriched. They may be excited from time to time, but they're headed downward, becoming complacent. The downward trek can be into sin itself or just into a sad abyss of uselessness. Where Christians become complacent, maybe excited from time to time, but complacent spiritually, and then drift into uselessness. I've met Christians like that. For David, a little bit of complacency, not being enriched when he should have been, became a downward trek into sin. We know that story, don't we? David, instead of going to battle with the kings and doing what God had wanted him to do, stayed home, saw what he shouldn't have seen, desired what he shouldn't have had, took what he wasn't supposed to take, sinned, and then committed sin to cover it up. For Demas became complacent, ceasing to be enriched spiritually. And it became a downward trek into the love of this present world, rendering him useless. For John Mark, it became an issue of not being steadfast in the work. Instead of being enriched spiritually, John Mark became no longer steadfast in the work, making his presence undesirable to the Apostle Paul. Now David, as we know, regained the status of usefulness through confession of sin and the forgiveness of God. Aren't you? Anybody here is a Christian since you've been saved? Have you ever come short as a Christian? Would you raise your hand, please? Yes, I'm dealing with a bunch of backsliders. We'll have an altar call in a minute. We sure have. And David regained the status of usefulness through confession of his sin and, thank God, the forgiveness of God. However, we do know that because of what happened in David's life and the record of Scripture, that David experienced great pain throughout of his life that came as a result of his temporary trek into sin. Concerning Demas, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, Paul writes, for as he writes to Timothy, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. That's a sad commentary. Something happened. Demas may have had excitement, certainly seemed excited over the things of the world, but he ceased from being enriched and became useless. We do not have any scriptural record that Demas ever really regained his status of usefulness, to my knowledge. What a sad commentary. How would you like that as your epitaph on your grave marker? So-and-so forsook me, having loved this present world. With John Mark, his lack of steadfastness in the work caused Paul not to want him along on a journey to strengthen the churches. Paul said to Barnabas, let's go and go on a journey and strengthen the churches. And Paul said, yeah, or Barnabas said, yeah, let's take my nephew John Mark with us. Paul said, no. He was with us before, and he quit. Let me paraphrase. He failed to be enriched and quit, became unsteadfast, and is no longer usable. I'll read it. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Let me interject a thought. If your Christian service is based on your excitement, you'll be just like Demas, just like John Mark. We're not excited to serve. We get excitement as we serve, but we are instead enriched to serve. We'll see that. The contention, the Bible says, was so sharp between Paul and Barnabas, between them, that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. Barnabas said, I'll take Mark, and we don't hear any more about them in ministry. Paul said, I can't take him, I'll take Silas, and we know the rest of the story. Later on, however, John Mark must have learned from that difficult lesson and must have matured to becoming more steadfast. And Paul writes Timothy and says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. Isn't that awesome? John Mark waned from his steadfastness, was told he couldn't serve, must have thought about it, got right, and something happened in his life, and Paul says, okay, he's profitable now, take him. Aren't you glad failure's not final as a Christian? After being looked at as being inconsistent and overlooked as a result, John Mark had evidently learned how important it was to be steadfast and consistent in the ministry, and now once again, profitable to have along in the ministry. Enriching our lives places us in the pathway of continued and greater usefulness for the Lord. When our lives cease to be enriched, we cease to be usable for the Lord. Almost every field of business or service has forms of continuing education aimed at increasing the usefulness of those involved. Enrichment seminars. Had David been enriching his life spiritually doing what he was supposed to do instead of being complacent, he may not have drifted into sin. That'd be a whole different story, wouldn't it? Had John Mark been enriching his life spiritually, Paul may have wanted him to continue with him, and Barnabas and Paul may not have had a falling out. Had Demas been enriching his life spiritually, the things of this present world would not have caught his attention and pulled him away from spiritual usefulness. Notice again, if you would, in your Bible here, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again, in verse number 5, he says that you are in everything enriched by him. Then he says you're not coming behind. You're usable so that you will be ultimately blameless. Now let me just mention something. If Demas didn't get his life corrected before he died, he will not be blameless before the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know that he wasn't saved. I'm assuming that he was. But not blameless. When our lives cease to be enriched like they ought to be, we cannot do what we ought to do. We cannot increase in usefulness, and we become blameworthy because we haven't fulfilled what God wants us to do. The word enrich here is interesting. It simply means, it can be used in the natural realm, to gain riches, to accumulate wealth. In the spiritual realm of gaining spiritual riches, or the idea to be richly furnished. Notice again that in everything ye are richly furnished by him in all utterance and in knowledge. This is God's desire for us. This is why we come to church, in a way, that we would be enriched by him in Christ. The end goal of enrichment is in verse 8, as I mentioned, that you might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. We are accountable to gain what God has for us and to use it, to be enriched. We're accountable to gain what God has for us and to use it. If we don't, we're accountable for that, the sin of omission. To whom much is committed, much shall be what? That shows accountability, does it not? And so to enrich, to become blameless, the end goal of this enrichment that's mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, the end goal in verse number 8, so that we won't be blameworthy, reprovable. Without being enriched, we may become worthy of reproof when we see Jesus Christ. Listen, if when I got saved August 13th, 1976, I was as saved as I'll ever be. And the day you got saved, you were as saved as you'll ever be. You don't get more saved. But if that's all that happened in my life, when I stood before the Lord, I would give an account of wasted time. A wasted life. But instead, what God wants to do, having saved us, he wants to enrich us spiritually, furnish us, give us, increase us spiritually, not so that we can flaunt our increase, but so that we can become more and more usable in his vineyard. Enriching our lives places us in the pathway of continued and greater usefulness for the Lord. There are two areas of enrichment mentioned here which are worthy of consideration in verse number 5. It says that we may, in everything, ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Two areas of enrichment mentioned here, which certainly they're penned down for a reason. We don't preach our ideas, we preach the Bible, right? There's two areas of enrichment mentioned here, and these are areas of growth that we should be experiencing as Christians. Not areas of excitement, but areas of enrichment personally. Enriched in word or utterance and in knowledge. So two areas here, very simple, that God says, I want you to be enriched, and I'm going to hold you accountable for it. Enriched, first of all, in word. In word. The word word means in speech. Uttered by a voice. Words embodying a conception or a thought or an idea. Jesus Christ is the living what? Or, right, because in body, he totally personifies God. He's the living word. He is the total expression of God. Words are expressions. The Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And it's amazing to me that as Christians are enriched, their speech changes. We say uplifting things rather than things that would cause someone to be downcast. The speech, the sayings of God used for the word. I mean, the word word is broad. It's very broad in its meaning. And although the word for word is broad in its meaning, the very basic meaning is here is that idea of your speech or the spoken word. And so, I mean, that's how we communicate, isn't it? We do communicate through facial expression and, you know, what we do that is it expresses what your life is an expression of who you are and what you believe. I know that. But what we say more than anything expresses something. And God says, I want you to be enriched in him in word. So that as you are enriched spiritually, your speech becomes more becoming to who you are. We should be becoming more enriched here in our ability to speak for the Lord. I know Christians who have told me they've never witnessed to somebody about the Lord. You know what I have to say in view of our thought? They may have gotten excited a few times, but they haven't been enriched. We should be becoming more enriched in our ability to speak for the Lord. First, our speech should be sound speech, healthy speech. Titus 2:8 says, we should have sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks, right? But your talk does talk. Let's go from the very basic. Somebody that had a vulgar mouth that used profanity before they got saved, as they grow in grace and are enriched in spiritual things, their verbiage should change. Amen? It should change. Someone was talking to me about profanity a while back, and I said, you know what? Just replace the bad word when you hit your thumb with praise the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, well, it's better than other things. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, but speak thou the things which become or are becoming to sound doctrine. As we are enriched, we should be able to speak about things of God. Some Christians are very uncomfortable to talk about the things of God. I feel they've probably been excited a few times, but not enriched. I love to talk about the things of God. I love to share thoughts from the Scripture and talk about the Scripture. Speak the things which become sound doctrine. The Bible says in Titus 1 and verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. We take the word of God and we learn to speak the word of God as we're enriched by him. Enriched. Paul told Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So if we're enriched in him, first our speech is going to become more sound, accurate, true, doctrinally correct, helpful, beneficial to people. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That's something all of us can let the Holy Spirit help us with. It's going to take somebody downhill, put a zipper on it, right? Our speech should be sound. Secondly, if we're enriched, our speech should be gracious. Gracious. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Better taste good. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. I want to interject something real quick. The Bible mentions salt for seasoning quite a bit. Amen? Enough said. Got to put a little salt on it. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Our words should be with grace. God's favor behind them. Some people say, you know what? I'm just the type of person that speaks my mind. Well, how about letting God alter your mind a little bit so you can speak something that's nice? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When we get saved and begin living for the Lord and are being enriched by him, it changes. We control what we say. The Bible says in Psalms, if you have thought evil, put your hand upon your mouth. My dad used to say, put your brain in gear before you put your mouth in action. Our speech should be gracious. Let your speech be always with grace. God's favor, showing favor, being beneficial, helpful, seasoned with salt. Make it taste good. Let it be a preserving element. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Notice he says that in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance. In all the things you say, you're enriched so that you're saying things that correlate with what you believe, that come from Christ and the knowledge of him. Our speech should be sound. It should be gracious. It also should be informative. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Somebody says to you, are you a Christian? Tell me what it means to be a Christian. Well, it means I go to church. It means I read my Bible. Is that what it means to be a Christian? You better be able to tell them how to be saved, right? And so as we grow by enrichment, becoming more furnished, we're able to speak soundly, we're able to speak graciously, but we're able to speak informatively, where we share scriptural knowledge with people. Can you tell anybody why you believe there's a rapture? Don't say because Pastor Whitman said so. The Bible says so. Can you tell somebody why you believe a hell? That there's a hell? The Bible says so. Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. As we're enriched, we begin to speak more informatively to people about the Scripture. Ask somebody that's just religious what they believe. They have no clue. They don't have a clue. But the person who knows the Lord and is being enriched, given more from Him, that person becomes able to speak about what they believe. We need to be enriched in the ability to speak the gospel clearly unto others. That's the most important thing we can have by way of utterance, to share the gospel. Sometimes we only get one chance. Maybe it's just giving a tract. And sometimes we get to sit down and talk with someone. You better, when you have a chance, you better be able to clearly go through the gospel. How do we get that way? We get enriched by Him. Lord, strengthen me. Build this in me. Give me that ability. Help me to learn it in such a way that I can speak it. We need to be enriched in all utterance, the things that we say. And we could go on. There's lots of scripture that deals with what we say. But we need to be enriched to say the right thing. Secondly, it says enriched in the area of knowledge, all knowledge. Enriched in knowledge. Did you know that you do not know it all? Did you know that a person newly saved does not know it all? Did you know that I do not know it all? Amen. We need to be enriched in the area of knowledge, to know, coming to know truth, coming to have understanding, knowledge and deeper knowledge of the things of God from His Word. We never reach a point of knowing all we need to know. When a person ceases to be enriched in knowledge, they're done spiritually. We always have new horizons in front of us, but if we're not learning more from the Word of God, we will not have what we need to give. In fact, in order to keep us from falling from steadfastness, we're commanded instead to grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes after, beware that lest you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. That's interesting, isn't it? It's very interesting to me. David fell from steadfastness for a little while. He had quit being enriched in that time. Demas fell, loved the present world, had quit being enriched spiritually. John Mark quit on Paul. He'd quit being enriched. Something maybe disenchanted him. Something allured him. Something enticed him. But he quit being enriched. Growth in grace keeps us from falling from steadfastness. If God says that, then it's true, right? And so, in order to keep from falling from steadfastness, we're commanded to grow in grace or to be enriched in Him. Why does Pastor always tell us, read through your Bible? Because Pastor wants you to be enriched spiritually so that God can use you. What's the sense in going back on Sunday night? Because there's something given from God's Word that will enrich you spiritually. Why go Wednesday night and have prayer with people and listen to the Word of God? Because it will enrich you spiritually. It'll furnish you. It'll give you things that you need to perform what God has placed in front of you. When you cease to be enriched, you'll cease to be used. John Mark may have temporarily fallen from steadfastness because he probably quit growing in knowledge at that point. When we become unteachable, we cannot be enriched in knowledge. One of the things that was stressed when I was in Bible college was always being teachable, be able to keep learning. You know, in Bible college, you don't learn everything about the Bible. You learn how to learn about the Bible. You don't learn everything about the ministry. You learn how to be engaged in ministry, but it's a life process, believe me. Okay, I've read through my Bible many, many times, about 35 at least times through the Bible. But I learn something new every time I read the Bible. Or something more about what I already knew. Or something tweaked about what I thought I knew. This is why it's important to be in the house of the Lord. When we have services, the potential for growth and spiritual knowledge is always there. The alternative is to go downhill spiritually. People say, well, I can be a good Christian and not be in church. Show me. No, you can't. And why be in church? So that you can say, went to church then? Went to church then? No. It's so that God brings something to you and He gives it to you so that you're richer, so that you have something to give to somebody else. He wants to enrich you. We're saved. If we all died, if this building blew up right now, and you know the Lord is Savior, we'd be blown to heaven, right? All together. So we know we're going to heaven. We're not going to make that better. But our usefulness here is what Christian living is all about. And God says that you might be enriched by Him in all things, in utterance and in all knowledge. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're to study the Word of God. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It's amazing how many messages or lines of thinking come from people who have not rightly divided the Word of truth. The cults come out of that. One man in the 1800s, Baptist by origin, thought he could figure out the date and time the rapture was going to take place. So he got all his followers to dress in white, and they went up on the mountain. The rapture didn't come. He went back and did some recalculation. I must have figured wrong. Got them all together again. They went up another date, all dressed in white. And the trumpet didn't sound. And they went back down. And he did some refiguring. I must have figured wrong. And he did some refiguring and really developed into a major cult today. See, we're studying the Word of God to be enriched by it so that we know the truth of God's Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Colossians tells us, you know, it's interesting that Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and Colossians chapter 3 talks about the fullness of the Word of God. And the byproducts are the same. And in Colossians it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Do you know what the next word is? What is it? Richly. God says, I want to deposit some very wealthy knowledge into your heart and life from my word that you can use. How many of us like to gain wealth? Would you raise your hand, please? Come on, be honest. I'm not saying if you're carnal now, okay? We like to do that. It's not a bad thing. Job was the richest man of his day. Abraham was rich. Solomon was rich. They weren't condemned for that. the rich men who lean on their riches, who rest in their riches, who hoard their riches, are condemned. But God increases us spiritually, enriches us, gives us wealthy deposits of truth from His Word, not so we can say, I have a vast amount of knowledge, but so that we can take that knowledge and pass it on to somebody, enriched. You know, it's wonderful. I look back, okay. Since 1976, I've been in the Bible, in the Bible, in the Bible. It's richer to me, but it's a blessing to be able to look at Scripture and that I used to wonder about and say, you know what, I understand that now. That makes you feel good, doesn't it? That's enriched. It's like the person that says, you know what, I always had more month than money, and now I've got a little bit of money left over at the end of the month. Spiritually. We're to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word in 1 Peter that we may grow thereby. Little babies, when they're hungry, they're pretty adamant, are they not? They're pretty persistent. Boy, they want to eat, you know. And a matter of fact, you will kowtow to them when they want to eat. Because they want it. God says that's the way we should be. Some people seek, I want to be excited from time to time and make me feel good, make me feel good, and then it's gone. Instead, the Lord says, be enriched. Desire the Word of God. It will enrich you to be able to speak about God. It will enrich you to know about God and the things of God so that you can have these things to share with other people. Interesting verse. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture, that's from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. What's the next phrase? Ready? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Enriched. This enriching knowledge furnishes us to greater usefulness for the Lord. Sometimes people say, boy, I really want to do something for the Lord. Well, let the Lord enrich your life so that you begin speaking more of what you should speak and you begin knowing more of what you should know, and then you are enriched, more thoroughly furnished to be then usable. A new house is a wonderful thing. But without appliances and furniture, it's not very useful at all. I remember years ago when a very good, high-end subdivision went up over in the South Bend area, I heard about a number of people that bought the homes but couldn't afford to put furniture in them yet. True story. Of course it's true, I'm telling it. But they had the house, but it wasn't furnished. What good is that? I'd rather live in a mobile home and sleep on a bed than in a rich man's home and sleep on the floor, wouldn't you? Are you with me? Maybe not. As a house is, listen, enriched with beds and chairs and appliances. In this area, Whirlpool appliances. It becomes more useful than fulfilling many different needs. I just want to recline. I got a recliner. I want a piece of toast. I got a toaster. I want a cold glass of Kool-Aid. Nobody drinks Kool-Aid, right? Soda. Okay, I got a nice refrigerator. Time for bed. I got a nice soft bed to sleep on. I want to get cleaned up. Got a nice hot shower. It's furnished to meet many different needs. The more we become on the physical realm, the more we become financially enriched, the more helpful we can be to others. Isn't it wonderful that as you do increase financially, you're able to give to other people that maybe have a need? That's a wonderful thing, amen? In fact, the change of philosophy from unsaved to Christian is, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is fit, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Change of philosophy. I gained to hoard for me, but now I gain to give to thee. The more we make, the more helpful we can become, and so it is spiritually. The more we are enriched by the Word of God, the more we have to be able to pass out and to give to others. We need to be continually being enriched, better equipped, more thoroughly furnished, so each of us can have greater potential for usage. I mentioned this week to someone in talking, that where I am right now, don't take this wrong, but I feel like I have so much more to offer than I did so many years ago. Although, physically, I can't get around. No, not really. And I don't say that just from the standpoint of, wow, I can see, you know, God has given. God has given things that enable me to use them in different ways. But he wants to do that for all of us. Look at that verse again. That in everything you're enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. So, how about opening up your mind and your heart to let the Lord enrich you spiritually? Enrich you. So that you come behind in no gift. So that you have what you need to minister as you wait for his coming. Verse 7. God gives you and me increased spiritual enabling, which is of the gifts. Spiritually enabling as we let him enrich us spiritually. Someone asked me the other day, you said, you like to get up and talk in front of people. No, I really don't. Naturally, I didn't want to do it, but I have something to say from God's Word, and I like to share that. That's what enrichment does. I still get embarrassed. What we have to do is empty ourselves, and I wish you'd hear me on this. If you haven't heard anything I said, would you hear me? Empty yourself of self-satisfaction. And open your heart for more spiritual growth wherever you are spiritually. You and I do not know it all. And God wants us to be enriched so that we can be more usable. Each of us should be enriched to become more useful. Quickly, what enriches us? Scripture does. Wisdom, knowledge. The application. Prayer enriches us. Spiritual relationships enrich us. I am enriched by the spiritual relationships I have with people of like you. It enriches me. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs enrich us. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That enriches me. When Brother Hiscock was here, I mentioned to you how enriched I felt from hearing those songs and stories about them with the scripture. I wasn't emotionally excited. Paul Hiscock is not what you'd call an emotionally exciting speaker. It's not minimizing. But what he shared was enriching. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs enrich us. Service for the Lord enriches us when we give, when we encourage others, when we share the gospel And even if somebody doesn't get saved, but I've shared the gospel, I'm enriched by that experience. The man at the airport, Gail, that said he almost died. They took a bunch of water off his chest, and now he was getting to go hunting. And I had a tract. I said, well, you really need to read this, because if you didn't make it, this will tell you how to make sure you're going to heaven. That's all the contact I had with him. I feel enriched by that. I hope he read it. Service for the Lord enriches us. And in closing, I just say this. Let the Lord enrich you today. If you're not saved, Jesus, the creator of all things, the King of glory, who was rich, became poor so that you, through his poverty, might have all the riches of eternal life in him. Do you know him? If so, are you being enriched by him in word, utterance, and knowledge, so that he can use you like he wants to use you? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly